This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Isaiah 59, verse 19, and the second portion of the verse, where the prophet said, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." We are in a spiritual warfare. Back in verse 15 of Isaiah 59, he tells us that he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. The moment in your heart you determine you're going to do what's right, you're going to live a righteous life, you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to serve the Lord, the moment you make that decision, you enter into a powerful spiritual battle. You make yourself now a prey of the enemy, of Satan. I heard the story of a fellow who was in a habit of sharing his testimony, and it usually would run, "The other day when I was going down the road, I met Satan, and he attacked me, and, you know, this and that. And the other day as I was walking along, I met Satan there in the path, and oh my, what a battle." Testimony usually ran in that vein. And his friend said to him, "I don't understand it." He said, "It seems like every time you go down the road, you're meeting Satan. Always there in your path. You're always running." He said, "I've been going down the road for years. I've never met him." He said, "Well, you're probably going in the same direction." And if you're going in the same direction, you're not apt to meet him. If you're living a life of sin, indulging the flesh and all, Satan's going to leave you alone. He's not going to hassle you. But the moment in your heart you determine to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to meet up with him. You're going to find out that we're in a real battle. As Paul tells us here in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these spirit forces, these spirit powers, these forces of darkness and evil. And so Paul exhorted those in the church of Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God, that they might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. Paul, no doubt, has the 59th chapter of Isaiah in mind as he is writing to the Ephesians. For in verse 15, no, beg your pardon, we go down to verse 17, Paul tells them, or Paul, remember, told them the breastplate of righteousness. Here in verse 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, the helmet of salvation upon his head." And you remember the armament that Paul told the Ephesians. He's borrowing from Isaiah here. And so he probably has this passage of Isaiah in mind when he writes to the Ephesians and said, "Look, you're in a real battle. You're wrestling against these forces and powers of darkness, and you need the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the attacks of the enemy that you face." The moment a person determines to depart from evil, they begin to experience the opposing forces of darkness in their lives. The flesh begins its war against the spirit, and you find that the spirit is warring against the flesh, and these two are contrary. Satan is reluctant to let you go. And so Isaiah said, when the enemy, And as a child of God, you have a very powerful enemy who is warring against your soul. Paul tells us concerning the works of Satan that he opposes and exalts himself against all that is called God. The moment you are called God's child, Satan opposes you. And our enemy is powerful. But it is important to note that he is not all powerful. It is a mistake to think of Satan as the opposite of God. He opposes God and he opposes the things of God, but he is not at all the opposite of God. Satan is a created being where God is self-existent. In speaking of Satan, God said, "In the day that thou wast created," a created being. He is a created being in the order of angels, really of one of the most powerful angels, the cherubim, but yet a created being of God, and thus in no way can he be compared with God, nor can he be an opposite of God. He probably would be considered an opposite of Michael, the archangel, who continues to serve the Lord. For he has rebelled against God, but he is in the order of an angel, not at all in the order of deity. Satan is a finite being. God is infinite. Satan's power is limited. It is limited by God. He was complaining to God about those limitations when he was talking with God concerning Job. He said, "You've put a hedge around him. You won't let me get to him." And thus, he can only operate as far as God will allow him to operate. But there are limitations to what he is able to do. And those limitations have been established by God. God is unlimited. And except as we, by our faith, limit the Holy One of Israel. God's power is omnipotent. Satan's knowledge is limited. He doesn't really know everything. He knows a lot more than we do, but he doesn't know everything. God, of course, is omniscient. He does know everything. If you think of him as the opposite of God, you're giving him too much credit, more than he has. However, you must not think of Satan as a wimp, because created as a cherubim, one of the high-ranking angels, he does have greater power than the unregenerate man. We are no match in and of ourselves for Satan. Apart from God, we would be helpless and hapless victims of his attacks. However, he is no match for that power of God that is in you as a child of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thus, as a child of God, you never need to fear him. You never need to back down from him. You don't have to fear encountering him, because ours is the victory through Jesus Christ. As Martin Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not at him. One little word will fell him." He has to surrender and yield to the authority of the weakest child of God who comes against him in the name of Jesus Christ. Our enemy, however, is unrelenting in his attack against us. You may win the victory over him in the morning, but he'll come back in the afternoon with another attack. You may close the front door on him, but he'll come around to the side door or the back door or through the window. he doesn't cease his attacks against the child of God. And the territory that we take from him in the name of Jesus must be held in the name of Jesus, for he will seek to counterattack to regain the ground from which he has been driven. Satan yields only what he must, and then seeks to retake that if we relent at all. A mistake that many Christians have made is they have gained an initial victory over the enemy in a particular area of battle, and they think, all right, I've got the victory, it's all over. No, he'll counterattack. He comes back. And he seeks to retake the ground from which he was driven. Now, this power that Satan exercises is usurped power. But he is very brazen, totally brazen. He'll move in areas where he has no right being, and he'll try and take over. But he was defeated by Jesus. And when we come against him through the victory of the cross, he must relent his power and his hold upon lives, upon your life. And so it is important that we know our place of authority and power through Jesus Christ over him. You remember in the Old Testament when Saul failed God. And as the result of Saul's failure, he rejected God's authority in his life. And so the prophet said, because you have rejected God from ruling over you, God has rejected you from ruling over his people. And God told Samuel, go down to the house of Jesse and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king over Israel. And he came to Jesse's house and anointed David as the king. Now Saul was still on the throne, though David was God's chosen anointed king. But in the interim, between the time that David was anointed king and he sat upon the throne, Saul did his best by the dint of force to keep David from coming to the throne. He tried to destroy David and the kingdom that David was going to establish. Now, it is much like that in the world today. Satan has been dethroned through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rightful king. He has redeemed the world back to God and is the rightful ruler. However, he has not yet come to establish his throne and his kingdom upon the earth. We pray for that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth, even as it is in heaven. And in the meantime, though Jesus is the rightful king, Satan is doing his best by force to hold on to that which is no longer rightfully his. But when faced with the victory of Jesus Christ, he must yield. And we have that power and authority through Jesus to drive Satan off of the territory that he is seeking to hold. But Satan attacks the child of God in many different ways. One of the ways by which he attacks us is physically. We remember when God let down the guard that he had around Job. When Satan began to attack Job, he attacked him physically. Job was covered with boils. His life was absolutely miserable. In the New Testament, Jesus attributed many of the physical ailments to demonic activity and power. The one case in Luke where there was this woman who was bent double from the waist down. Very pitiful looking woman. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus crossed her path. The Pharisees were standing there to see if he would violate their traditional keeping of the Sabbath and would heal on the Sabbath day, which according to their traditions was unlawful. And Jesus said, which of you, if your ox fell into the ditch and it was the Sabbath day, would you not pull it out of the ditch even though it was the Sabbath day? And not this woman who has been bound by Satan, lo, these 18 years, be loosed on the Sabbath day? You loose your donkey to go eat. Should this woman be loosed even though it's the Sabbath day? And Jesus healed that woman of this infirmity. But in many cases, Jesus attributed the physical infirmity to satanic activity. But he not only attacks us physically, but he can attack you financially. And we again remember the case of Job. When God took away the hedge, Job was stripped financially. He got wiped out. All of his cattle, his sheep, his oxen, everything gone in a moment's time. Satan ripped him financially. It is important to remember in that regards that when Job passed the test, it was a testing. When he passed the test, God gave to him 10 times more than he had had before. And before, it says he was the richest man in all of the East. So God multiplied to him 10 times over once he had passed the test. But Satan is able to attack you financially and to seek to bring you into financial ruin. He also attacks in the area of our emotions. And so often he uses fear as one of his tactics. Now, fear and faith are mutually exclusive. If you have fear, you don't have faith. If you have faith, you don't fear. And fear results from looking at the circumstances, seeing the difficulties, hearing the diagnosis. Fear oftentimes grips our heart. That's an element in which Satan works and attacks you emotionally. Faith comes by keeping your eyes upon the Lord. Fear sees the power of the problem where faith sees the power of God. And so as you put your eyes upon the Lord, your heart is filled with faith and fear goes. But Satan uses fear by diverting our attention to the problem. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. When you hear that lion roaring, sometimes you think, oh, you know, did you hear that, you know? And Satan seeks to divert our attention from God onto the circumstances where he can then strike our hearts with fear. He also uses confusion as one of his tactics. The Bible said God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And Satan will try and make you all confused. Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm so confused. It's just, oh, you know. And he uses high-pressure tactics, and high-pressure tactics usually go with confusion. He has his little room like the auto salesman where they take you and sit you down. And then they walk off to leave you to go talk ostensibly to the manager. And then they come back and say, well, now we've got some other people I found out that want this car, and they're supposed to be coming back pretty soon. And so if you want it, you better sign right now, you know. And they get the old pressure on and put the, you know, you feel like, oh my, I don't know, should I not? But they're trying to pressure you into a decision. And Satan uses confusion. He's the author of confusion. He oftentimes uses depression. Again, looking at my circumstances and looking at my weakness and looking at the job that needs to be done in light of my abilities, I get depressed. I think, well, I just can't do that. And I begin to feel so depressed over life and over the circumstances of life. And Satan so often uses depression. I look at the load and I say, that's too heavy. I just can't carry it. But we forget that Jesus said, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But Satan will then attack us in the realm of the spirit. God can't really love you and allow these things to happen to you. God has forsaken you. God has failed. God's word has failed. And he will begin to attack you in the realm of the spirit to make you question God or challenge God. Now, usually, when he attacks, he doesn't just attack in one area. So often when he comes in like the scripture said, like a flood. I mean, he gets out his air force, his artillery, the tank units, and the infantry, and the Marines, and they all come at once firing in every direction, and we're just overwhelmed by the attack of the enemy. When we are down physically, we've been going through a physical problem for a period of time, and we are weakened physically by this problem, it is then that so often Satan seeks then to attack us emotionally and make us depressed. I see all of the work that needs to be done, and I just don't have the strength or the energy to do it. I'm so depressed. It's not worth living. I just wonder, you know. And then he'll attack you spiritually. If God really loved you, why would he allow you to feel so bad and all, you know. And so the whole, like a flood, he just comes pouring in upon you. And you feel your own weakness, your own limitations. You're too sick physically to really get up and fight this thing through. You had better days. There was a time when you had that strength and that physical power, and you said, well, that's all right, I can go out and I can recover and I can do it. But you don't have that any longer. And he comes in like a flood and just sort of overwhelms you. It is good to know that in these cases where I am weak, where I am lacking in faith, that the Spirit of the Lord will come in and raise the standard for me against the enemy. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, in reality, God was leading them because they were following the smoke and the pillar of fire. And God led them into this valley that led down to the Red Sea. Pi-hahiroth on the one side, and was it Migdol or something on the other side? And as they came into this valley, they came to the Red Sea. They suddenly realized that there was no way out of the valley except the sea. I mean, and going back. In other words, it seemed to be a wrong move. Poor tactic. For the Egyptians came up behind them and sealed off the valley behind them with their chariots. And the people came to Moses and they said, "Is it that they didn't have enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to bury us in the wilderness? Why in the world did we ever listen? Where were we to follow you? Look what you've done. You've led us into this trap." And they began to get on Moses' case. And they were all murmuring and complaining against Moses. And Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians that you see today, take a good look. You're not going to see them again." But the enemy had come in like a flood. It looked like they were trapped. There was no way out. And he says, "Look, watch God work." And so often when the enemy comes in like a flood and you feel like you're trapped, there's no way out, you can't see any possible deliverance, just stand still. The Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard against the enemy. When Jehoshaphat was king over Judah and the Edomites had invaded the land, and they were a overwhelming force. The people of Judah did not have the army or the strength to go out against the Edomites. And the people gathered together before the Lord, and God gave his word to a young prophet to go tell the people, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours, but God." And when we are weakened, and when we are incapable of ourselves, and we feel that weakness, and we know that I just can't do it, just turn to the Lord, trust in him, rely upon him, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard against the enemy. Now, our victory over Satan comes by many methods and means. First of all, James said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You need to resist the enemy. There are some times when we are so overwhelmed by his power, we just sort of melt. We think, "Oh, Satan," you know. And we just sort of melt. No, stand. Resist. Don't just collapse. Resist the devil. He's got a big bark, but not much of a bite if you resist him. He will flee from you. I like that t-shirt that says, "Next time Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future." And when he comes in roaring like a lion, just stand there and stare at him and roar back, and he'll turn and run. All bluff. Resist the devil. We have the property up there in Palomar, and we have this fellow who is a caretaker and watching the property for us. And it's beautiful forest and meadows, streams, ponds. And he has this small little dog up there. And he was walking through the forest with his grandson when they came out into the meadow. And they heard his little dog yelping. And here he was running across the meadow with a mountain lion chasing him. And so he drew his gun and he fired, and that got the attention of the mountain lion, saw him, and the mountain lion turned and ran back into the woods, and the little dog started chasing him back into the woods. Satan comes along like a roaring lion, but if you resist, he will flee from you. I don't suggest you chase him, but our victory comes through the name of Jesus Christ. When Michael the archangel was disputing with Satan over the body of Moses, he dared not to make a railing accusation against him, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Jesus said to his disciples, "In my name you will cast out devils." Later, the disciples came back from their missionary journey and they said, "Oh Lord, it was so exciting. In your name, even the devils were subject to your name." They were telling all the healings, the things that were going on. "And even the devils were subject to your name." As Martin Luther said, "One little word will fell him. It is that name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, at which Satan must retreat." We come against Satan's power with the Word of God. It is the sharp two-edged sword by which we defend ourselves and go on the offensive. The Jesus answered every temptation of Satan with the word. When Satan said, "Hey, you're hungry. Why don't you use your miraculous powers and turn that stone into bread? Use them for your own fleshly fulfillment." He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father." When Satan said to him, "Look, why don't you just jump off the temple here to demonstrate to all of the people down there your miraculous powers? For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in your all your ways." Jesus said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When Satan showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, he said, "If you just bow down and worship me, I'll give these to you." He said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only." So every temptation was answered with the word. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you." When John wrote his first epistle, he said, "I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." The three go together. The overcoming of the wicked one was through the word of God that was in them that made them strong against the wicked one. So God's word in your life is strength against the attack and the power of darkness. And then our victory is through prayer. As Paul, in the parallel passages in Ephesians chapter 6 that we read, when he told us that we should just put on the full armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, having done all to stand, when he gets you fully armed, when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation and all, then he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The real power against the enemy in prayer. Supplications in the Spirit. So, we have our resources in God against the powers of darkness that are warring against our souls to destroy us. And ours is the victory through Jesus Christ. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise that standard against him. And you will know, as you stand in the name of Jesus through the word, the power and the victory over him. We read of that day of the great tribulation when the powers of darkness will be loosed upon the earth even greater than they are today. When hell will be released on earth, that even at that time there will be certain people who will have put their trust in the Lord, and it says of them, for they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Power of the blood of Jesus Christ, his victory upon the cross, where Paul tells us he spoiled those principalities and powers that were against us, making an open display of his victory as he triumphed over them at the cross. And through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, we are victors. Stand therefore, resist the devil. And when he comes in like a flood, God's Spirit will be there to raise the standard against him. So we pray. Father, we thank you for that place of victory that we have in and through Jesus Christ today. That you have wrought for us, Lord, victory over the enemy. And as we are in Christ, we are protected and shielded from the fiery darts that he may cast at us. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that we are your children and that we have this place of power and victory over the forces of darkness that control this world. May we, Lord, walk in your light, in your strength, in your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? There are many ramifications to the truths that we have shared with you today, and one of them is to recognize that that authority and power that Satan does exercise over people's lives is usurped. Jesus died to redeem the world. And that you, through prayer, can release your loved ones from the power of darkness that holds them. Paul wrote to Timothy that we might take them from the captivity of the enemy who is holding them captive against their wills. He talks about how the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the truth, but through prayer you can release them from the hold that Satan has. You can drive him off. He must yield when you come against him in the name and in the victory of Jesus Christ. It's time that we quit running. It's time that we stand fast in the power of God's Spirit and know that if it's beyond us, the Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard against him, and we can stand in victory as we watch God work in our lives and around us in defeating those forces of darkness that would try to destroy. And so I pray that this week, as you stand fast in Christ Jesus, as you resist the devil and the works of darkness, that you'll experience this week the marvelous powers of God working in your life. Maybe Satan has been holding back resources. I pray that God will just release them this week. Break the powers of darkness that are aligned against you. Maybe there's an area in your life where Satan has really had a field day, a weakness in your flesh, and you've more or less conceded that place to him. It's like, well, I just am so weak. I guess I always will be. And I pray that you might make a stand in that area and you might see what the Spirit of God will do in raising the standard against him and giving you victory in areas where you had never dreamed that you could have victory before. May you see the work of God's Spirit defeating the powers of darkness as you walk in fellowship with Jesus our Lord. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make